The Bible reading today is from Romans chapter 8, verse 31, one verse only. What then shall we say to you, say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Just open and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray to you today that every soul sitting in this room, they get the blessing that you desire for them, Lord. I pray that whatever comes from my mouth is what you want the individual to hear. And Lord, if people come up to me afterwards and say, I thought you were going to speak about David and Goliath, that's cool too. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. So if we can all take our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13 through to 18. So that's 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 through to 18. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servants said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down from him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Neil touched on this last week, but there's a world within a world, an unseen world where angels and demons do battle. It's happening right now, and maybe even right here. It's been going on since the fall of the one third of the angelic host. No better example of this is in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, a demon, withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, chief archangel, one of the chief princes, came to me for help, to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now luckily, you sitting here today have an infallible defense, a bodyguard in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have that bodyguard, come see me after and we'll fix that up. It's just interesting enough, the Israelites in the time of David did not have that Holy Spirit. And therefore, they didn't have the spiritual defense that we have today. The section we're studying on in the life of David comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now I apologize for the length, but I couldn't leave it out. So we have to turn to chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now it will be the whole chapter. So that's 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Shochoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephrathdanim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And the shield bearer went before him. He stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said to him, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and a man who was old and advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Adinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up a battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be a man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done about this man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger arose against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? There is not a cause." Then he turned from him towards the other and said the same thing. And these people answered him the same as the first did. Now when the words of David which spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion and the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing as he defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me the paw of the lion and from paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord will be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor and put bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. He then took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore him the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. For the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord, not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. He then put his hand in his bag, took a stone, and slung it. He slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took the sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And the Philistines saw that their champion was dead. They fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistine fell along the road to Sharami, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from the chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David coming out against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son that young man is. Then, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand and said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered him, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Goliath, the champion of Philistine, taunted the armies of Israel for 40 days and nights. 40 is the number of God's judgment. This is repeatedly proven throughout the Bible. In Genesis, with the rain falling on the earth for 40 days and nights. Also, the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And Jesus being tempted by Satan for 40 days. So this degrading taunt was God's judgment on Israel. For 40 days, Israel was at the mercy of the Philistines. Goliath's taunt was to challenge the Israelites with single combat. The battle was with single combat. This was done in the ancient world to limit casualties in battle. If my best man and your best men fight, then there's less collateral damage. The challenge would have been issued by a larger conquering army with aspirations of further conquest, knowing that if they lost, they could still attack and win the day. We can deduce that the Philistines had a larger army because if the Israelites had a larger army, they would have ignored Goliath's challenge to single combat and used their superior numbers to attack the Philistines, saving themselves humiliation instead of wallowing in fear. Let's talk the champion of the Philistines, Goliath of Gath. The height and physical descriptions of Goliath are important, and the Bible does go into great detail on this, emphasizing the importance of the physical specimen terrorizing the people of Israel. Goliath began being a descendant of a Nephilim, remembering that a Nephilim was, as per Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that their sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, and whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be numbered at 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bore children to them, those were mighty men who were of old men of renown." So Goliath is a descendant of these old men, these men of old renown. Goliath was 6 cubits, which is the length from the elbow to the middle finger, and a span. Now a span is the distance from the thumb to the little finger, stretched out at its most. Coincidentally, probably not coincidentally, but a span is equal to half a cubit. So if you all want to practice that, you'll get there. Which is in metric, 6 by 45.5 centimeters plus 22.25 centimeters, therefore equating 290 centimeters tall. Now these measurements will vary slightly, as we're only equating metric units to ancient methods of measurement, which would have originated from selling and trading goods, which would actually vary from seller to seller. But they'd be all around the same with a small margin of error. It's also important to realize when you're doing your own research that there's people out there actively trying to mislead you. And they will use what seem like credible sources to chip away at God's word. The one that hurt me enough to mention it was a biblical scholar that declared that the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are preserved 2,000-year-old texts of the Torah, which stated that Goliath was only 4 cubits and a span, which would make him slightly taller than a man like Brendan. So if you want to stand up, Brendan. Thank you. Slightly taller than Brendan. And equal to the height of a man like Saul. It is a lie. The word is complete. There are no mistakes.
Yeah. Amen.
Since we've established Goliath's sheer size, let's look at Goliath's defenses. Goliath's armor was a coat of mail which is a lightweight coat used to deflect slashing blows. Not thick plate armour like you'd see in those medieval movies. Only Goliath's lightweight coat had a mass of 5,000 bronze shekels. Now there's 11.4 grams to the shekel, which equates to 57 kilos. This, coupled with bronze shin guards and a bronze helmet, Goliath's defence was comparable to a bronze-aged tank. Looking to Goliath's offensive weapons, he had a spear, which is described like a weaver's beam. We all love those Jewish tapestries, but we often forget that they're about an inch thick of solid linen. And a weight of a full tapestry would be immense. Well, the weaver's beam is what those tapestries hang off. A big, gnarly, 3-inch pole with an iron spearhead mounted on the top, weighing 600 shekels. That translates to 6.9 kilograms. Now, if you remember, a year ago, 10 months ago, my son was born at 3.45 kilos. His spearhead was 2 Rubens. Just to make it more metriced. Now this weapon isn't designed for the purpose of killing men in a phalanx formation. This weapon is designed so that Goliath could go toe to toe with a man mounted on a horse. Just let that wash over you. Goliath was so massive that he would do battle with a horse. Goliath had a bronze javelin to make him a threat from range, ironically. He also had a shield the size of a man. Finally, we also know he had a sword, but the Bible doesn't go into great detail of the size and material because it remained sheathed. We can, however, assume that it was iron, because the Philistines had an advanced knowledge of ironworking, which gave them technological advantage over the Israelites in battle. David, son of Jesse, who has arrived on the battlefield to give his brothers some basic food and also to give/bribe their captain with some cheese for some special treatment. 40 days after Goliath's initial challenge. Now, as we know, 40 is the number of God's judgment. So this is significant because it shows that David has been exempt from God's judgment on Saul and the armies of Israel. Word of David's disgust on the insult that is Goliath to the armies of the living God, and he is summoned to appear in front of King Saul himself. Now David has no interest in riches. Saul's daughter, who by all reports was not a great catch, or even having his father's household exempt from taxes in perpetuity. The only thing David is concerning himself with is the affront against God that the Philistines are providing. So when he's face to face with Saul, he tells him, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul, who's been waiting for a warrior to defend his nation, when frankly it should have been Saul, who stands head and shoulders taller than all other men in Israel, to stride onto the battlefield on day one and slay the giant in the name of God. But no, Saul has proven himself unworthy, and he knows it. So in strides David, declaring he will fight the Philistine champion. And Saul looks at him saying, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth." Which David responds by telling him about his previous opponents in the fields, protecting his father's sheep, notably being a bear and a lion. So if we just go back to verse 34 of chapter 17. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock, I went out after and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, Lord, who has delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Notice how at every point David attributed his victory to the Lord. And never once said it was in his own strength. Now, Saul's no idiot. He can recognize when God will deliver the victory to someone. But he shows his own desperation by trying to clothe David in his own armor and sword, trying to grab a fraction of that glory and recognition for himself. But David wisely refused, and he knows he won't win this fight with the sword of a man. So let's talk about the humble servant David. Lowest of his brothers. A good-looking youth, probably in his teens. Not as tall as Saul, and definitely not as well-nourished. Armed with a shepherd's staff, a stick that he leans on to walk and herd sheep with, a cloak of wool and maybe even animal skin, and a shepherd's sling with five dense, smooth, aerodynamic river stones. So let's analyse this basic projectile weapons of the ancient world. Sling is a 1 metre length of rope, leather rope, strapped, which can be wielded in three different ways. First way is over the head. So wildly inaccurate and only ever seen in the movies. It's about intimidation. And David would have used this method to scare wild animals he's encountered in the wilderness. Second way is clockwise vertically. So you grab your sling and you go on clockwise vertically. This is done in a volley fire situation. Most commonly in a battle formation line for maximum distance. The third way is the anti-clockwise, so I came up with this, anti-clockwise vertically cricket bowl action. So this one, you come in, wah, like that. So it's over the top. All right. Sorry? No. Now this way fires the projectile at less distance, but it's deadly accurate with the capacity to harness the central fugal acceleration achieved at a velocity of 60 metres per second, which equates to just above 200 kilometres per hour. This creates an impact force similar to that of a .22 long rifle. This is a deadly weapon. Now you might be wondering, why did David pick up five stones? Now there's many theories on this. Some are ridiculous. The most common being that the stones were targets. One for Goliath and his four brothers, who were all large men, imposing individuals, which David and his companions slew throughout his reign of king. Or it could quite simply be that David was being prepared, knowing that God had already given him the victory, just not knowing the manner which it would be won. We have our two champions, David and Goliath. David for Israel, Goliath for the Philistines. So what happens when the two meet on the field? That's right, trash talking. So back at verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Note, Goliath knew that the Jews believed the Gentiles to be lower than dogs. That you come to me with sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, like a son of a Baal, or something like that. And there was a Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the entire camp of the Philistines to the birds and of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This section shows how faithful David is. This is where rubber meets the road. He's standing down a mere 20 meters maybe from the giant of Gath. This isn't tough talking to the troops. This isn't promises to the king. This is staring down at death itself. And you notice that in this speech, it wasn't I in my power will defeat you. It wasn't even in God's power I will defeat you for my own glory. It was I will defeat you in the name of the Lord of hosts so that you will know that there's an all-powerful God in Israel. Always unwavering in his faith. But David can banish demons with a pluck of a harp. So what chance does Goliath have? Now we need to put our Elisha glasses on. Because just as David finishes speaking, we'll venture into that world beyond our world, that spiritual realm. Just as David finished speaking, a legion of angels descend from heaven and form rank behind David. David proceeds to run at the giant, readying his sling, and launch the rock with the force of a bullet straight into the forehead of Goliath. And the giant falls flat on his face, either killed or knocked out. It doesn't matter, because Goliath uses his own sword to chop off his head and present it to the Philistine army. As David lifts his head of Goliath, the legion of angels spread their wings and draw their swords, which filled the Philistines with such fear that they soiled themselves and fled. Now, how do I know this? Well, I don't, because I wasn't there and I can't see into that spirit world. But I don't think a numerically and technologically superior force would run in fear of a small boy with at tops 4 stones left. I think they fled because they were compelled to, by the forces they didn't see. Now, I may have a story that draws a parallel. Now, we've all heard about ISIS, a bunch of Syrian rebels who are losing against Assad's forces. Well, one day, they decided that fighting to overthrow a Syrian government wasn't what they wanted to do anymore. And instead of fighting west, they turned tail and fought east. They travelled across all of Syria, eastern Syria, taking cities and strongholds in their utes with guns. They get to the border of Syria and Iraq, and the Iraqi army meet them, ready to do battle. This is an American-trained army consisting of trained infantry and lightly armoured vehicles. When they meet the ISIS fighters in the open field, they drop their guns. They go out of their trucks and armoured vehicles and run. They were numerically and technologically superior and were so fearful that they ran, leaving their weapons and vehicles and all of northern Iraq to the ISIS fighters. I'm by no means suggesting that God's angel supported ISIS. I actually think it was Satan's demons that terrified the Iraqis. This is what happened to the Philistines. They were affected by what happening in that spiritual world. We can learn a lot from David when we all have an all-powerful God. We don't have empty faith. We have the entire resources of heaven at our disposal. When we act in faith in accordance to God's will, it doesn't matter the giant in front of us, because you might as well be a dwarf. I just want to close with this one last verse that Grandma started us with, from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. When they shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen. So good.